The book of Proverbs in your Bible is a book that is full of short sayings and statements that teach us how to live a life of wisdom instead of a life of wickedness. It's a great book to just read through. As a matter of fact, if you read one proverb every day, you could pretty much read the whole book in about a month. And when you do that, you'll be blessed by just some insight, some wise insight in the book of Proverbs. One of those statements is found in the 10th chapter in verse number 22, where it reveals to us that those who are wise and not wicked are those who experience the blessing of the Lord. That is, those who are truly rich are those who are experiencing God's blessing in their life. The Proverbs reads this way. It says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." In a culture, ladies and gentlemen, that desires after wealth and riches and material goodness, should read this verse, this proverb, that is a word of wisdom, and that is the source of real richness, is indeed the blessing of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to have God's blessings on my life. And that is, I desire for God's blessing. And that's what I want for you as well. And that is that I want for God to bless you. We sometimes say that little saying when somebody sneezes or coughs, we might say, "God bless you." But I want to say to you that I really pray and really desire, and I know that you do as well, that God really will bless you, that you will experience, recognize, and realize the blessings of God upon your life. So we want to spend a little bit of time learning a little bit about the blessings of the Lord. If the blessing of the Lord makes rich, I want to know about it. I want to learn about the blessing of the Lord. I want you to consider with me for a little while this morning what I'm simply referring to as the areas of God's blessings. And a little bit later on in this series of messages, we'll consider some of the avenues of God's blessings. But think with me for a little while about the areas of God's blessings. Now listen, there are multitudes of areas of our lives in which we can experience God's blessings. As a matter of fact, it probably would be impossible for me with my short mentality to be able to list out or even know all of the ways that God blesses us. But I want us to consider five general areas of blessings that we need to consider, five general areas in which we experience the blessings of God. And each one of these areas become more specific when you think about them, but just five general areas that we need to be thinking about. And the first one is the area of what I would call cultural blessings. And that is, when we desire the blessing of God, what we desire is God's blessing on our culture or on our nation that we are part of. That is, many of you like me, and that is the desire of your heart, is that we would live in a nation or a culture that has the blessing of God on it. We know the benefits, don't we, of God blessing our nation as opposed to God not blessing our nation. We desire God's blessings upon our nation, that is, upon our culture. When I'm talking about God blessing our culture, here's what I sort of have in mind, just speaking in general terms. I'm talking about God blessing us with good people over our nation. And that is, some good and godly people in leadership roles leading our nation. In the Old Testament, many times when God took his hand off of a nation, he allowed them to have wicked leadership instead of good leaders. Good people over our nation. When I'm thinking about God's blessings, that is the cultural blessings on our nation, I'm thinking not only about good people over our nation, but good prosperity in our nation. And that is a nation that is indeed a culture that is prospering. I'm also thinking about good protection around our nation, and that is, God not only given us good people to lead our nation and good prosperity in our nation, but also good protection around our nation. God just protecting us, we see that throughout the history of Israel, and that is at times where God just intervened and protected them against their enemies. Listen, we need that kind of blessing from the Lord. You and I are living in a dangerous world, and we need God's good protection around our nation. We need also, ladies and gentlemen, when I'm thinking about the blessings of God upon our culture and nation, about God's good purpose for our nation. And that God would bless us in such a way that our culture and nation would have a good purpose in the world. When I'm talking about the purpose to promote justice, and to promote charity and godly values, and a place from which evangelism and missions can be done by churches and believers in our nation. That is, our nation having a good purpose in the world, not just a corrupt existence, but a good purpose that lines up with God's plan and God's purpose in this world. That God would bless us culturally with that kind of a nation, characterized by good people over our nation and prosperity in our nation and protection around our nation, and also for a good godly purpose for our nation in the world. That we would experience those kinds of blessings. That from our nation, that evangelism would take place, a revival would be able to spread, that God would be able to move, and that we could see the power and the presence of God. God blessing us culturally or as a nation. It seems like the psalmist had that in mind in Psalm 33 and in verse number 12. Listen to this verse. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He had chosen for His own inheritance." Blessed is the nation. That is, the nation that is the blessed nation is the one who recognizes the Lord as the God of their nation. That we would receive those kinds of blessings. That God would bless our nation like that. Now, of course, we have the example of Israel, and we recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that they are a chosen nation, and God set before them the opportunity to be a blessed nation. And a nation, ladies and gentlemen, that indeed would have godly leadership, good people over the nation, and good prosperity in the nation, and good protection around the nation, and that God had a good purpose for the nation of Israel, and that is to be a witness of light to the entire world, to all of the nations. And I want to tell you, they experienced the blessing of God. And upon them as a culture and as a nation. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11 and verse number 22, listen to these words. It says, God said to the nation of Israel through His prophet Moses, He said, "If you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all the nations from before you, and you'll possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river the river Euphrates, even to the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as He hath done unto you." God is saying, "Behold, I set before you this day," verse 26, "a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known." Did you notice there, ladies and gentlemen, that set before Israel, it can either be a nation of blessing or a nation of curse. God said, "I'm setting before you one or the other. And that is, if you'll listen to me and obey me and love me and do what I tell you to do, then it will be a blessed nation. If not, then God will allow the curse to come upon the nation." And we see that in the history of Israel, times when they are blessed and then times whenever God pulls back His hands of blessing and allows the enemy to come upon them and they find themselves under a curse. So we see the example of Israel. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want our nation, our culture, to be a place where God is blessing. We see it again in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 15, listen to what the Bible says. God's saying through His prophet, He said, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee." He will bless thee. Listen to this. "The Lord thy God will bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." In verse 17 he said, "But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear," that is, if you turn away from God's word, you will not listen to what the commandments of God, "but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you unto you this day, that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land." You won't live long as a nation. Your culture will not last if you do that, is what he's saying. Whither thou passeth over Jordan to go and possess it. Verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed or your descendants may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey his voice, and mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of days. He is our length of days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. In other words, Moses is saying, you're getting ready to go into the land. He's preparing this new generation to go into the land of Canaan. And he said, when you go into the land, you need God's blessings to be able to continue living in the land. If God doesn't bless you, if you don't have the blessings of God upon your culture, upon you as a nation, then you will not live long in the land. You will not survive long in the land. You need the blessing of God upon you, Israel, as a nation, as a culture, in order to be able to survive as a nation. If you'll listen to the Word of God, obey what God says, and follow the principles of the commandments of God that He reveals to you, and love Him with all your heart, then you'll be blessed. But if you don't, then you will not be, and your descendants will not be, and you will not live long in the land. Now listen, that's what God is saying to Israel. You say, but they're God's chosen people. Listen, if God is giving this kind of a warning to His chosen people, then what about the rest of the nation? And that is the warning stands, and that is that we desperately need the blessings of God culturally. That is upon our nation and upon our culture. What I'm speaking to you is about some of the areas of God's blessings. When we desire the blessings of God, I'm thinking about cultural blessings, God's blessings upon our nation. The Bible also speaks, of course, about material blessings as well. Not only cultural blessings, but also material blessings. The material possessions that you and I experience in life, ladies and gentlemen, should be considered a blessing from God. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 7, the writer of Hebrews words it this way. He said, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. In other words, the writer of Hebrews is telling us that when God sends the rain and the vegetation grows and then you and I have something to eat, amen, you say, well, I don't like vegetables. Well, if you like beef, you ought to like vegetables because that's what the cows eat too. What I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is this, and that is the material blessings that we have, the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, and the possessions that we have should be considered a blessing from God. And so that when we're talking about God's blessings, we're not only talking about cultural blessings, but we're also talking about material blessings as well. And we see that in the Old Testament, that is in the patriarchs, that is God blessed them in special ways. And part of the blessing of God, that is a portion of the blessing of God, was indeed in the area of material blessing. Let me just give you the example of Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 24, Abraham sent one of his servants, one of his chief servants, to go find his son a wife. And whenever this servant, Abraham's servant, gave testimony about Abraham, here's what he said about him in Genesis 24 and verse number 34. The Bible says, and he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he's become great. He's given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. In other words, here's what the servant is saying, and that is, my master Abraham is a wealthy, wealthy man, and the reason why that he is, ladies and gentlemen, is because God has blessed him. We see that in Abraham. We also notice it in Isaac, his son, in Genesis chapter number 26 and verse number 12. The Bible says, then Isaac sowed in the land, and he received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord, he blessed him. And that is, the crops that he raised, ladies and gentlemen, were a blessing from God. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines, the nation of Philistines, they envied Isaac, the Bible says here. And the reason why is because God blessed him so much. There's the material blessings not only for Abraham and Isaac, the patriarchs, but also for Israel itself. Many of the blessings of God upon the nation of Israel were indeed material blessings. Listen to Exodus chapter number 23. In Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. In other words, he's saying to them that I'm going to bless you materially. When you go into the land, I'm going to give you the land, and then I'm going to bless you in a material way. We see that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. Listen to these words. Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all of his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings," here they are now, "all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." If you'll listen to God, here's the blessings. He said, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Now, that's a lot of blessing right there. You're going to be blessed when you're coming in, and you're going to be blessed when you're going out. That means you're going to be blessed all the time. And that is, when you're gathering up with your basket, when you're reaping your harvest, you're going to be blessed. And when you're putting it away to store it up, you're going to be blessed. That is, God is promising material blessings for the nation of Israel. You'll see it in chapter number 7 of this same book, that is of Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 12. Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 12, here's what it says, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee." Did you hear that? If you'll follow him and obey him, he'll love you and bless you and multiply you. And he shall also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of the land and the corn, the wine, thine oil and the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. And in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee, thou shalt be blessed above all people. And there shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle." That is, your cattle are going to grow. Your flock is going to grow and prosper. No barrenness. God is going to bless you. He's talking about material blessings. You say, "Pastor, that's the Old Testament." Well, let's listen to our Lord in the New. That is in Matthew chapter number 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord was speaking to them about material blessings, about material things, about what it is that we're going to eat and what it is that we're going to wear. And here's what he tells those who are listening to his message. And this is what he says to us in verse 31. He said, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" In other words, our Lord is saying to them, he's saying, listen, don't allow your life to be focused just on material things, on that is, what it is you're going to be eating, what you're going to be drinking, and what it is that you're going to be wearing. "For all these things do the Gentiles," those who are lost, those who don't know the Lord, that is, they seek after these things. The lost humanity, that's what their life is focused on. But listen to this now. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Do you know God knows what you need? He knows you need something to eat and something to drink and something to wear. He sure does. And then listen to this. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," that is, these material things, "will be added unto you." In other words, God is saying, if you'll follow me, the Lord is saying, if you'll follow me, then listen, God will make sure you have something to eat and something to drink and something to wear. Hey, it may not be exactly the meal you want, but it'll be good enough. It may not be the newest of clothes, but it'll be all right. That is, God will meet your needs if you'll follow him. Amen. It's the promise of material blessing. That is, if God, ladies and gentlemen, clothed the grass of the field. That is, if God clothes the fields with grass that grows and flowers and in its season, don't you think God will take care? Aren't you more valuable than the grass of the field? I mean, if God takes care of the birds that fly through the air, our Lord would say, that is, if the birds that fly through the air, God makes sure that they have food to eat, and He does. And they don't plant anything, they don't sow anything in the ground, they don't plant seed, they're not farmers, but God makes sure that they have something. Don't you think God wants to bless you as well? And the answer is yes. That is, I'm describing to you some areas of blessing. When we're talking about the blessing of God, we're talking not only about cultural blessing, God blessing our nation, but we're also talking about material blessings as well. And then let me just mention a third area in which, ladies and gentlemen, we experience God's blessings, and that is in the area of relational blessings. Not only cultural blessings and not only material blessings, but also relational blessings as well. The blessings of God upon our life are not only what we experience as a nation, and not only the material blessings that God gives us, but there's also the blessing of relationship. One of the great blessings, ladies and gentlemen, that we have in our lives are the relationships that we have with the people that God has placed into our life. Now, we see that from the earliest part of the Bible, that is in Genesis chapter number 1, and that is, we see there a man and a woman named Adam and Eve. You remember them, don't you? In Genesis chapter number 1, that is the chapter that begins with the creation story, the Bible tells us in verse 26, and God said, that is, after it created all the other forms of life on this planet, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man. He created man in His own image, ladies and gentlemen. That is, He's different from all the other forms of life in that man is created in the image of God. The Bible says in His image created He him. And listen now, and male and female created He them. In other words, there's a man and there's a woman, there's an Adam and there is an Eve. And the next verse says, and God blessed them. And He did. You say, what did He bless them? He blessed their relationship. And listen, the Bible indicates that when He said to them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God made Adam, and then He brought Eve to Adam as His helper, ladies and gentlemen, and God blessed their relationship, and their relationship is going to be blessed, the Bible says here, with descendants, that is, by replenishing the earth. God is going to make them fruitful, and God is also going to bless them with dominion over the rest of the creation. They're going to dominate and lead the rest of God's creation, dominating over the fish and over the fowl and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. God has blessed them. That is, this couple, ladies and gentlemen, He's blessed them with future family, and also He's blessed them with the divine purpose on this planet. He's blessed their relationship. Hey, listen to me now. It's going to be hard for Adam to fulfill his divine purpose unless he has Eve. You say, what do you mean? How is he going to be fruitful and multiply? And the reason why God created Eve is so that he might fulfill his destiny and gave her to him as his helpmate to fulfill the divine demand and the purpose for which God created humanity. He's blessing their relationship. And listen, that's what we need. That is, we need that kind of blessing. That is, God not only to bless us culturally as a nation, and not only to bless us materially so that we have the possessions and the material things that we need, but I want to tell you, we need God's blessings on our relationships. In a day and an age and a culture in which relationships are strained and in many cases so corrupt they can't stay together, ladies and gentlemen, we need God's blessings on our relationships. Now, we see that in the Bible, that is not only in Adam and Eve, but also we see it with Noah and his family as well. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 9, and verse number 1, God blessed Noah and his sons. Well, how did he bless them? Well, we can think about the ark, that's for sure. And we can think about stepping out on dry ground. We could talk about that for a little while. But the Bible indicates to us in this verse how God blessed them. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Just like we saw with Adam and Eve, God is going to bless them relationally with their wives so that they're able to have children, have a family, and replenish the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need God to bless our relationships. We see it not only in Adam and Eve, but we also see it in Noah and his family. By the way, we see it in Abraham as well. And that is in Abraham, and in Genesis chapter number 12, we see the blessing of God upon him relationally. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show you. Listen to this now. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now listen to this. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now there's a lot of blessing going on being promised here to Abraham. And we know the part of the blessing is looking forward to the coming of a Savior, the coming of Christ. And all, he said, all the nations are going to be blessed by you. He's talking about Jesus coming, our Savior, and dying for our sins on the cross, the blessing of salvation that would come through a descendant of Abraham. But you might remember that Abraham and his wife didn't have any kids about this time. He said, I'm going to bless you, and your descendants are going to become a great nation, and through your seed is all the blessing on all the nations looking forward to Christ, a descendant of Abraham. But ladies and gentlemen, Abram's wife Sarah couldn't have any children, and this begins a long process, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Genesis, of moving towards that day when finally, as an elderly woman, she's going to conceive and give birth to a son. At the age of about 90, she's going to give birth to a son named Isaac, and it is from Isaac that Jacob is going to come. And listen, the descendants of Abraham are going to multiply, and so that they will one day become a great nation. Listen, God had to bless the relationship of Abraham and Sarah in order for these promises to be fulfilled. God is promising to bless them relationally, and he did, so that his descendants became a great nation. And so that we could get to the great one himself, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God blessing our family life, our relationships, our marriages and our family life and children and grandchildren. Listen, God just blessing our relationships. We need that in our lives. We need God's blessing upon our relationships. Listen, even Ishmael was blessed by God. Did you know that? He sure was. Listen to Genesis chapter number 17 for just a moment. In Genesis chapter number 17, the child Ishmael, that is Abraham and Hagar, conceive, and that is the slave woman, and have Ishmael. But listen to what God's promise is about Ishmael in chapter 17 and verse 20, when the Bible says, As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. God is speaking to Abraham. He said, listen, it's going to be Sarah that's going to have this promised child. And it's not going to be Ishmael, but he said, I've heard you with regard to Ishmael. And here's what he said in verse 20. Behold, I blessed him, Ishmael. And you know how he's going to bless him? He said, I'm going to make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him, Ishmael, a great nation. In other words, God is saying, listen, I know that Ishmael, your son with the slave woman Hagar, I know all about him, but listen, he's not the promised son. You're going to have a son with Sarai. But he said, I'm going to bless Ishmael. And you know how God's going to bless him relationally so that he's able to have children. And out of the descendants of Ishmael are going to come 12 princes. That is, out of the descendants of Ishmael are going to come a great nation. What I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed the blessing of God on relationships, on families. We see it in David's house as well. And that is that God promised to bless the descendants of David. As a matter of fact, God promised that he would have a king that would reign upon his throne forever in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And the promise of God to King David, ladies and gentlemen, motivated him to bow his knee and to pray. And ladies and gentlemen, as he prayed this in 2 Samuel 7, verse 27. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And here it is. And now, O Lord, thou art God, and thy words be true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. David's praying for a blessing. And here's what he's praying for, a blessing upon his house. Now, he's not talking about the house that he lives in. He's not talking about the walls and the roof, and he's saying, God, please bless my house. Some of you might be thinking that, bless my house, so the power doesn't go out today or something like that. But when he says, bless my house, he's talking about his household, his family. David's praying, God, Lord, you made some promises to me. And I've heard them, and I'm praying this prayer, please bless my family, the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And listen to this, with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. David's praying, God, one thing I need more than anything else is I need your blessing on my family. I sure do. I need you to bless my family. And there's me and my wife and our kids and grandkids and our descendants. And not just our immediate descendants, but he's thinking about his future descendants as well. That his kingdom will continue on. He's praying God to bless them relationally. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was true of Israel as well. And the psalmist captured it for us. Listen to Psalm 115 and verse number 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. Again, it's not talking about a building. It's talking about the family. That is the family of Israel, the descendants of Jacob. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You're blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He's talking about relational blessings upon the family of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need God to bless us. We need Him to bless us culturally upon our nation. And we need Him to bless us materially so that we have just enough. Or we don't want too much. We don't want too less. And we don't want too much. We want God to bless us just right materially. And then we need God's blessings relationally. And that is God's blessings on our family, upon our relationships, ladies and gentlemen. These are some areas of blessing that we need, cultural and material and relational. And then just let me say as well, and that is that one of the other areas of blessing we need is directional blessings. Amen. Directional blessings. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm not just talking about God blessing our nation, our culture, and God blessing us with material possessions and God blessing our relationships, but I'm talking about God blessing us with direction for our lives. God just blessing us. One of the blessings, ladies and gentlemen, one of the great blessings of the Bible, the experienced by characters of the Bible, is when God gave them divine direction for their lives. Directional blessing. Some of you might be like I am, and listen, this is the constant prayer in my life, and that is, God, I just need your direction. I pray that all the time, and so I can make decisions I need to make and go in the right direction I need to go in and be able to preach what God wants me to preach and to do what I feel like God wants me to do, and I just need God's direction. I need His direction to know what to say and when to be quiet. And I need God's direction so I know what to do. And listen, you need God's direction in your life, just the blessing of God's direction, directional blessings in our life. Now, that's one of the blessings that Abraham received. In Genesis 12 that you and I looked at a few moments ago, let's run back there for just a moment and just see this. God blessed Abraham. And ladies and gentlemen, God blessed him not only relationally and not only materially, but God also gave him directional blessings as well. Listen again to Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He said, Abraham, you know what I want to do? I want to bless you real good. I want to bless you and make you great, a great nation, bless your descendants. I want to bless you, but here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get up and leave where you're at and go to a brand new land that I'll show you when you get there. Just get up and get going. You see, God has a brand new direction for Abraham's life. Now, if he was living in our day, then And God said, I want you to go to the land of Canaan. Then, ladies and gentlemen, he would have just gotten on his little phone and he would have just looked it up and he would have gotten his direction from his phone, just like you do. You got that little person in that phone. I hope they got her in there. And she's in your phone and she tells you every turn to make and everywhere to go. And I have to tell you, she aggravates me a little bit. I don't like being bossed around like that. But not in Abraham's day. God is, you know what he's saying to him? He said, Abraham, you're going in a brand new direction. You don't know where you don't know how to get there, and you don't know where it is. You've never been there before, and you don't have a map, and you don't have an app. And so you don't know how to get there, but I know where it's at. Just start going, and I'll tell you what direction to go in, and when we get there, I'll tell you when we're there. God had a brand new direction for him. Ladies and gentlemen, what a blessing for Abraham. And for his family and his descendants. Listen, who are still there in the land today. God blessed him with directional blessing. It's not only Abraham who had, ladies and gentlemen, a new direction, but God also blessed Mary with what I would call an exclusive direction. Go to Luke chapter number 1 and you'll see what I mean. In Luke chapter number 1, the Bible tells us in verse number 26, a familiar story. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You might remember this story. We just got done celebrating this, even though maybe it seems like a long time ago to you. It's only been a week or so. But the Bible says a six-month angel Gabriel, he was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came unto her and say, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Listen to this now. Blessed art thou among women. Hey, Mary, the Lord wants to bless you with an exclusive blessing. He's going to send you in a brand new direction in life. Now listen, Mary's probably minding her own business. That is, she's getting ready to get married to a man named Joseph. She's got a lot of things to prepare and get ready so that everything is ready on her part whenever they finally, when the marriage is finally finalized. She's a busy girl. She's probably helping her mom and maybe her father, and maybe they're helping her to get ready for the marriage upcoming. There's a lot to do. And she just focused on those things, whatever it might be that she's preparing and getting ready. And all of a sudden now, God interrupts her life with this angelic vision. And God is saying, listen, I've got a new direction from you. I got a direction for you that is exclusive just for you. Nobody else is going to be able to go in this direction. You're the only woman who's ever gone in this direction. That is, you're going to conceive in your womb supernaturally without knowing a man. And the one that you're going to conceive on the inside of you is none other than the Christ. Blessed art thou among women. Listen, the blessing is directional blessing. God is directing her, ladies and gentlemen. She is following the direction of God in her life. I love Mary, don't you? And the reason why is because she couldn't figure out how this is going to happen. And the angel explained to her, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And that holy thing is going to be conceived on the inside of you. And just as evidence that that's going to happen, your cousin, that is Elizabeth, in her old age has also conceived and is about 6 months along by now. That is, she's pregnant as well. And listen, with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary responded and she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Verse 38, Be it unto me according to thy word. You know what she did, don't you? She surrendered to the direction of God. An exclusive direction. This is not a direction that she can, that anybody else has ever gone in before. It's just for her. And God, the angel's revealing to us God's blessing on her life. You're blessed above all women. What I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is some of the areas where we need the blessing of God upon our life. That is, there's cultural blessings. We need God to bless our nation. And there's material blessings. That is God supplying what it is that we need. And He has so much. And there's relational blessings. God blessing our families. And there's directional blessings. Just God giving us His direction. It may be a new direction like Abraham. It might be an exclusive direction like Mary. But ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist tells us it ought to be a godly direction. Listen to Psalm 128 and then I'll be done. Psalm 128, verse number 1. This whole psalm, listen to this psalm. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord that walketh in His ways. Who's blessed? Why, those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways, in His direction. And that is, a God is setting the direction, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to step in that direction. And listen, the reason why is because I respect and reverence or fear the Lord, and whatever God says to do, wherever God says to go, I just want to go in that direction. Now listen, if you'll go in God's direction, in a godly direction, walk in His ways, then you'll be blessed. The Bible says in verse number 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You'll be able to work and eat from the work. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. That thy children, like olive plants, round about the table. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing, by the way. And there's, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to bless you relationally. I'm going to bless you materially. Verse number 4. Behold, that thus shall be the man. Be blessed, that is, that feareth the Lord. God will bless those who fear the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. God said, if you'll walk in My ways, I'll bless you materially. I'll bless you, listen, culturally as a nation. I'll bless you relationally, you and your family, if you'll follow My direction. You see, directional blessings, ladies and gentlemen, God setting the direction and us following. Directional blessings leads to cultural blessings and material blessings and relational blessings. Well, we need God to bless us with His direction. God, I want to follow You. I want to walk in Your ways. I want to walk in Your direction. Because that's where the blessing is. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Listen to me now. You just start right where you're at. You can't be anywhere except where you are right now. And right where you're at, you just start surrendering to God, yielding to Him, listening to what He's saying. And then you step in the direction that He's speaking to you about. If you ever want to get to the place of blessing, you got to start walking from where you're at. You got to start obeying from where you are. You got to start surrendering what you have. So you can get to that point that God can pour out His blessing on you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're saying to us and how You're working in us. God, thank You for everyone who is here, and I pray, God, that You'll bless them in a special way, that You'll speak loudly, that You'll work powerfully, that You'll manifest Your presence among us. God, I pray, Father, Lord, that You'll help us. Lord, we need Your blessing in all these areas of our life and so much more. And I pray, God, that You just help us to get surrendered, to get yielded, to get abandoned to You for Your glory. Father, You know our hearts and what's standing in the way and what's getting in the way, those unsurrendered areas. Father, I pray that You help us to get to surrender those to You and follow You in Your direction for our life. And we're going to give You the praise for all that You're about to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.